Well, good evening. Wow, it's good to be back. You know, Birmingham is my hometown. I'm a Birmingham boy, but I haven't lived here since 1986. I went out to Tulsa and ended up marrying one of my instructors. I was her favorite student, and then God sent us to the mission field, and it's just good to be back home. Oh, my, my, my. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm just thankful for what God's going to do tonight concerning healings and miracles. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said, I'm thankful for what God's going to do here tonight for healings and miracles. Well, how can you say, Brother Larry, that we're going to have healings and miracles because the word's going to be preached and God confirms his word with signs following? Amen? You know, I was just listening to the book of Acts on the way down here. And I got to about chapter 24, and we're driving in a car from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and man, I'm telling you. And, you know, that was the beginning of the early church. And there's signs and wonders and healings and miracles and angelic visitations. I mean, just the supernatural. And that's really the way the church should be today. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said, that's the way the church should be today. I mean, we are supernatural children of Almighty God. God not only is with us, he's in us. We've got his word, we've got his name. Man, that's an awesome song. You guys, worship team, you always do a great job. We appreciate you setting the platform for us. But I want to talk to you tonight, a familiar subject, but I want to focus it in maybe a little bit different way than you've heard it talked. Before, I want to talk to you about faith for healings and miracles. You know, we can have faith for healings and miracles. For many years, I remember, you know, I used to come to the church here from time to time in the early 80s. And I went to another church across town that was my home church. But the pastor, Pastor Frank, taught faith. He had faith teachers in like Charles Capps and Lester Summerall. And man, I'm telling you, we were word monitors. If anybody ever said anything that was contrary to the word of God, just say, I wouldn't say that. And we've learned how to use faith for ourselves. We've learned how to use faith for things. But I want to propose to you tonight, let's focus our faith on healings and miracles. Because, you know, everywhere we've been in the world, and we've had an opportunity to go in many nations, everywhere we've been, you cannot argue with a healing and miracle. A Muslim cannot argue with a healing and miracle. They cannot produce healings and miracles. But we can, because we're supernatural children of Almighty God. And we have the faith of God that resides on the inside of us, and we can use that faith to do the miraculous. We can use that faith to see people healed. Because many times people will not believe what we've got to say until we can produce the goods. It's time for us to produce the goods, my brothers and sisters. So let me just ask you to start with, who are you? Oh, well, excuse me. Thank you, Lord. I want to say this to the visitors. You know, we're just in. We're going to blow up and blow out, and then we're going on to the next place. But these pastors are here. They'll be a blessing to you. They'll teach you the word of God. They'll teach you who you are, and they'll teach you how to have the best in life. So if you're a visitor, come back later, and you can be pastored by two wonderful people. So now that being said, and then he didn't tell me he'd give me a bigger offering for saying that either. But it's just true. You know, we pastored ourselves for many years. But how many of you are saved? Just raise your hand real quick. Do you know, because you are saved, you've already received the greatest miracle that you'll ever receive? Man, to be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We were once on our way to hell, and we heard about Jesus, and that word gave us the faith to receive what he did, the redemptive work. And then we are on our way to heaven. But you know, God doesn't want us to go to heaven right away. You know, God left us here on earth. He left us here on earth between hell and people trying to get there. But many times, people want to argue with us and words and different ideas and everything. But if you can produce what the Word of God says, that'll make a believer out of a lot of people. We've been many places throughout the world. And when we can prove what our Bible says, and we can, because it's the only living book in all creation. This book, the Bible, will produce exactly what God says it will. God says what He means and means what He says, and if we will just dare to believe it and act upon it, we can see the same things that our big brother Jesus did. So there's four things about faith we want to look at tonight. Who has faith? Well, we all have faith. What kind of faith is it? How does that faith come? And the main thing I want to focus on tonight is what we can use that faith for. And I'll just tell you in advance, healings and miracles. We can, not just for us, thank God. We can believe that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. We can believe that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sickness and disease doesn't have any place in us. And we can command it like we sang the song, in the name of Jesus, that mighty name. And sickness and disease has to bow its knee and flee. Run like a little scared, scalded dog. The devil has to tuck his tail between his legs and run off. When we believe and we declare in the mighty name of Jesus. See, that's what the Word of God has produced on the inside of us. The God kind of faith. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's all right. So who has faith? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, you use the New King James. For by faith you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Both of them. Grace is a gift of God, and faith is a gift of God. I like to say it like this. Grace is God's grip on us, and faith is our grip on God. Man, God has given that to us. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt or given each one a measure of faith. God's given us faith, and it's the God kind of faith. So we all have faith. Say, I have faith. So what kind of faith is it? Well, I'm so glad that you ask. Mark 11:22. You probably never heard that scripture before. No, I'm sure you've heard it many times around here. Mark 11:22, Jesus said, He said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now the Greek says, have the faith of God. Or we could say, have the God kind of faith. Now, you know, God wouldn't tell us to jump and touch that ceiling because that'd be impossible, of course, unless He does something supernatural. God would not require something of us that was impossible. So if He tells us that we can have the God kind of faith, then we can have the God kind of faith. I mean, well, I'm getting ahead of myself again. You guys just pulling me all over the place tonight. That's all right. Paul talking to the Corinthian church. Now, you know, if you hadn't know anything about these Corinthians, they were a little bit on the carnal side. They were baby Christians. But he said in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians in verse 13, he said, since we have, now let me ask you, is that past, present, or future? Excuse me? Present. We have, that's present tense. He's not, when we get to heaven, we're going to have this kind of faith. We have the same spirit of faith. Not a lesser spirit, not a secondhand spirit, but the same spirit of faith. We have it. We already got it. You got it when you heard the Word of God, when you believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, when you believed He died on the cross for your sins, when you confessed Him as Lord, you received the God kind of faith. You received the greatest miracle that you could ever receive. And you can take that same kind of faith and use it toward others. Now, many of us have taken that kind of faith and we used it for healing for our bodies. Many of us have used that kind of faith and received homes and houses and wonderful things, which is right, which is well, which is good. But let's take that faith and focus it toward a lost and dying world. I said, let's take that faith and focus it toward a lost and dying world and prove to the world that God is still in the healing business and prove to them that God wants to do it through us, the believers. Come on now, y'all help me. I need a little help now. We can take that God kind of faith and use it to reach the lost, to prove to the world that God is God and the Word of God is true. We have the same spirit of faith. Now remember this, we'll come back to it later. Now Peter writes in 2 Peter 1:1, he says something very similar. He writes, he said, I'm a bondservant and an apostle, Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God the Savior, Jesus Christ. The Polish Bible says it, faith of the same value. We have the same value, the same quality of faith that Jesus Christ did when he walked the earth and did the things he did. You know, Jesus, in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection, was our substitute. But in his life and ministry, he was our example. He was our example. He came to show the world what a son and daughter of Almighty God could do. It's not just to get stuff for ourselves. It's to help others get stuff that God has already provided. You know, under the old covenant, God had promises. But in the new covenant, it's established truths. And if we just dare to act like the Word of God is true, if we act on the Word of God, if we're doers of the Word of God, we will not be deceived. We'll be blessed in everything that we do. So let's use our faith for healings and miracles. I mean, you know, thank God, one time we were here, we taught on the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, and that's wonderful too. You know, that's one side of the grace that God has for us. But we can take the truth of God's word and we can just act like it's true and see things happen even without the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. We can use our faith and we can use the mighty name of Jesus. We can lay our sweet little hands on sweet little heads and see the miraculous happen. We can see growth disappear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just speak to any growth or cyst in anybody's body here tonight, and I command it to dissolve in the name of Jesus. I forbid you to persist in their bodies, whether it's on the outside or whether it's on the inside. In the name of Jesus, I command those growths and those cysts to dissolve right now in Jesus' name. You can give a good report after the service. So, Peter said, we have like precious faith. Paul writes, and he presented present tense. And then Peter, he writes, and he said, who have obtained? That's past tense. So, we all have faith. Say, I have faith. We all have the God kind of faith. Say, I have the God kind of faith. How does that faith come? I know you've never heard this. No, I know you have. Faith comes by hearing. And you know, that's why it's good to be in church on a regular basis. How many of you ate today? This morning? And some of you ate lunch and some of you may eat something tonight. Well, naturally speaking, we eat, we feed our bodies with stuff that God has provided for us. And the Word of God, it's life. It's health and healing to all our flesh. And not only our flesh, it will be health and healing to those that we minister to those that we talk to about this stuff. See, the church is a place to come and be trained to do what God said we can do. You know, as ministers and pastors, it's our responsibility to fill the pulpit. It's your responsibility as the rest of the body to fill these chairs. If I step on a few toes tonight, we'll have a prayer line. We have the same kind of faith. The God kind of faith. Mountain moving faith. That's what we have. And we just need to be bold about it. There's no reason for us to be timid. I just like to get out on a limb and produce and present God's word in such a way that if he doesn't show up, I don't have anywhere to go. Because he'll always, I said God will always produce his word if we're just bold enough and use the God kind of faith that we have and just present it to the people. And lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on the sick. We'll get to that in just a minute. I'm just all over the place, bouncing around. But that's what a way a preacher is. Now, my wife, she's a teacher. She's a line on pop line. But you got me tonight anyway. So how does faith come? So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, how? According to what is written. It's according to what is written. I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. And then we've already looked at Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And faith goes by not using what you have. It's awful quiet in this place. I said faith goes by not using what you have. You know, really, it's kind of dangerous to be in a place like this. Because you hear the word of God and you don't do the word of God. Uh-oh. No, thank God. God brought you here for a specific reason. This ministry was established for a specific reason. To teach people how to live by faith and have God's best and be able to give that to others. See, we don't want to keep this all to ourselves. I said, we don't want to keep it to ourselves. I mean, there's a lost and dying world out there that's never going to get an opportunity to hear these pastors unless you get them saved and bring them in here, or unless you invite them and bring them in here, or unless you lay hands on them and they get healed and you bring them in here. That's the way the church is really supposed to operate. The ministry gifts, Ephesians 4:8, or is it 2:8? 4:8. He ascended on high and gave captivity captive, and he gave, verse 11, gave gifts to men, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Why? For the perfecting, maturing, educating of the saints so that they could do what? The work of the ministry. This is the way this thing's supposed to work. So, we all have faith. Say, I have faith. We all have the God kind of faith. Say, I have the God kind of faith. And that faith came by hearing. Say, my faith came by hearing and hearing God's word. So, I said all that to say this. This is what I want to get to. We can do with this faith what God has told us we could do, mainly healings and miracles. Who's been having problems with their wrist? Who is that? Who's been having problems with their wrist? I don't know what it is. I just know that there's just something about your wrist. You're having problems. Oh. Just lay your hands on her, sweetie. Thank you, God. Father, you revealed that so the Holy Spirit could heal it. We say no more in Jesus' name. We forbid this to operate any longer in the mighty name of Jesus. Mighty name of Jesus. No more. Thank you, Lord. Give you a little tip. You know, when God reveals something to you, speak to it. He said to speak to a mountain. Well, mountains come in a lot of different ways. Sickness and disease are mountains. Now, we can take that and we can speak to sickness and disease in our bodies. But when we have an opportunity to minister to someone, we speak to it. I just challenge you. We don't have time to go into it, but I challenge you to go into the gospel in the book of Acts, and you'll see Jesus and the disciples, when they encountered sickness and disease, they spoke to it. Now, Jesus didn't use his name because he was the name, but the disciples in the book of Acts, they spoke to things in the name of Jesus, and they had to adjust. Things had to change. He's given us that name above all names. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The name has power in it. And when we have faith in that name and use that name, excuse me, we'll see results. So let's go to Mark 16. I know you're really familiar with this. But verse 15, he begins to say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, preaching doesn't necessarily mean you do exactly what I do. I mean, you come here, you get full of the word, you got something to say to people. I mean, I would dare say that when you get out beyond these walls, now there are probably other churches in town, in other cities, other states that preach the same message. But probably if you took a survey in the body of Christ, we're still a small percentage that we just dare to believe what God said, and we dare to believe it's true, and we dare to act on it. The large majority of the body of Christ don't have the privilege of hearing the things that you hear here. Man, you're a privileged bunch of people because they believe the Word of God and they teach it to you. And then many of you, I mean, if we started through the congregation and got testimonies, you know, Pastor taught this and I acted on it and I got exactly what God said. All of us has a testimony of acting on the word, using the faith that God gave us, the God kind of faith, the miraculous kind of faith that God gave us in his word. So he said to go preach. And then verse 17, it said, signs will follow the believers. Sign will follow those that are blood bought, blood washed. We're redeemed. We don't have to live under the same system that we used to live under before we were born again. Signs follow the believers. And when we speak and we act in line with what God said, we get what God says. Not only for us, like I said, for many, many years, God allowed us to learn this faith selfishly because he knows the way men are, women are. But now let's take that same God-given, God mountain-moving faith and use it out here in the world to fill this place. Thank you for your enthusiasm, boy. Just think about this. If everybody in here tonight, now I know there may be some that you're not part of the congregation, but you could be. If everybody in here tonight just got one person saved in the next 6 months and got them coming to church, in 6 months' time, this church would double. And then 6 months later, you did the same thing. Man, the multiplication. What about if you did it in 3 months? And then the next 3 months and the next. And then they are taught by the pastors, man, that thing would be like a snowball rolling down the hill. You know, a snowball rolls down the hill, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's the way this thing ought to be. We need to be radical for the things of God. Come on. You know, I've got a few years under my belt now, and I'm more radical today than I was when I got saved in 1983. I was a drug dealer and a drug addict. On my way to hell, I'm going to spend my life in the penitentiary. And God intervened in my life and showed me that his word was true, and I got saved, filled, delivered, healed, all in the same package. That's what salvation is. It's not just some little mamby-pamby thing we get to go to heaven. It's a whole package. And we can dump that package on people with the words of our mouth and the actions of our hands or our words. Your words carry weight. Do you know that you can't have what God said? Nobody in here can have what God says unless you say what He says. God won't work against your words. That's a little side journey. I know you know these things, but see, a preacher will come in and stir up stuff. You know this stuff. Let's put it to work. Let's fill this church up. Let's fill these pews up. See, because we're not just about numbers. We're not just about filling the chairs so that everybody can exalt the pastor. It's about populating heaven. I mean, hell is an eternal place, and people are going to go there if we don't step into the place that the blood of Jesus has provided for us, and they're like sons and daughters of Almighty God. And prove to the world that God's word is true, and we can have exactly what God said we could have. We can do exactly what God said we could do. And we are who Jesus made us. The blood didn't cover our sin. It washed it totally, completely away. And then verse 18, it says, lay hands on the sick. He's talking about believers. He's talking about each and every one of you. He said, these signs... Now, I'm not going to go into all the signs. We're going to talk about laying hands on the sick. Angela and I had an opportunity to preach in a Bible school in Turkey. And underground. I won't go into the whole story, but a friend of ours had a satellite, and this satellite produced programs in Iran. And lots of Iranians came into Turkey. They were able to come without visas and stuff. And we did a 3-week Bible school, which Angela and I did a week of it. But she taught on prayer and authority of the believer, and I taught along these lines. And at the end of the service, Friday, we did all week long, Monday through Friday. We were doing about 3 or 4 hours in the morning and a couple hours at night. They were in a camp. But anyway, so Friday, the Lord said, demonstrate. So we started laying hands on people, and people started getting healed just like this. And then the Lord said, there was a little girl, 15. He said, call on her. So I called on her to begin to pray for people. But let me back up a little bit. About Wednesday, this little old lady came in, and she had the burqa on. That's that garb that the Muslims wear. And all you could see is her face. Everything else was black, and her hands. And so she came up in line, and the little girl laid hands on her because the call was for pain. The little girl laid hands on her, and instantly the pain was gone. Later, we found out that she had had an operation in Iraq, Iran, and the doctors botched the back operation. And for 30 years, she had pain. But when this little girl, now she's the first time she ever heard this stuff. This little girl laid hands on her, and the power of God came on that lady, and all pain was left. And then I told her, I said, well, do something you couldn't do. So we're on the second story, and students had been helping her go down and up the steps all week. And so she went out the back door unassisted, went all the way down the steps, all the way back in. And when she came in the back, tears was just rolling down her eyes. And she had her hands thrown up like this. I don't know who taught her how to do that. But anyway, and she started saying something in Farsi, which is their language. And we asked the interpreter, what's she saying? She says, now I want to receive the Jesus that healed me. See, her religion couldn't do anything for her, but Jesus can. And that little girl, the little child of God, just dared to believe what we had taught her that week. And bam, the little lady got a miracle. It made a believer out of her. So you can't argue with healings and miracles. I remember when we were in Prague, our landlady lived above us, and I came home one day We came home one day, and our landlord, the husband, he looked very distressed. And I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, Mirka, that was her name, Yarda was his name. He said, Mirka's in the hospital, and the doctor says she has cancer, and she's got about 6 months to live. Now, he declared to be an atheist. But we said, Yarda, could we go to the hospital and pray for Mirka? See, we're talking about laying our hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And he said, yes. You know, when there is no hope, I don't care what people believe. And you give them a little spark of hope, not even faith. See, because you can take your faith and use it on people that don't believe. So anyway, we said, can we go pray? So we went and prayed. And we went to the hospital. We took our tech Bible with us. And we let her read this scripture, Mark 16, 15 through the end of the chapter. And she said something that shocked me. She says, but I don't believe. You know, thank God for the Holy Ghost. He'll teach you. And so I thought, and that's what I get for thinking when I'm not used to it. But I thought the Bible said that the believers will lay hands on the sick believers and the sick believers will be healed. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says believers will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. All I need is your permission. We're believers. That's what I told her. I said, Angela and I are believers. You're sick. If you will let us pray for you, God will heal you. Man, we did and God did. And as far as I know, she's still alive today. That was back in the early 90s. Wow. Why? Because the Bible says these signs will follow the supernatural believers of Almighty God. They will lay their hands that are full of faith and power on the sick and they shall recover. If you lay your hands on somebody and say, well, let's see what happens, guess what? Nothing will happen. It takes faith. I said it takes faith. But if you dare believe the simple truth of laying your hands on somebody's head or wherever God tells you, something will happen. And then, of course, you say in the name of Jesus. It's not in our name. It's not in our works. It doesn't have anything to do with except with our obedience. Faith without works is dead, being alone. But we operate that faith by acting like the Word of God is true. Why? Because it is. It's really the only truth that is in this world. So, I remember a story Dad Hagin told, Brother Hagin, about a farmer. He had heard about this farmer that had a marvelous healing ministry. And so Brother Hagin desired to meet him, and eventually he had an opportunity to meet him. This farmer just started out. He said, well, Brother Hagin says, well, what do you sense a healing anointing that comes on you that causes people to get healed? And he says, well, if I do, I don't know it. He says, well, do you recognize maybe it's a gift of healing or working of miracles that operates through you when you lay hands on the sick? He says, well, if I do, I sure don't know it. He says, well, what do you attain the success that you've had in getting people healed? I mean, they were even bringing horses and stuff to him, and he's laying hands on them. He said, well, one day I just read Mark 16 that believers will lay hands on the sick. And the Bible says they'll recover. And I started acting on the Word of God. And I started seeing results. Wow. And like I said, we saw that in Turkey. We ministered in France somewhere along these lines. And we had some kids, some 12-year-old kids come up after the service and said, well, can we lay hands on people? And yeah, they laid hands on this guy in a wheelchair that had been in the wheelchair, I don't know, most of his life, had pain all the time. and the pain left. He didn't get up out of the wheelchair. I don't really understand everything there is to understand about this stuff, but I do understand that if we will do what God says, we will get results. Amen?
Amen.
We've preached this all over the place. I had an opportunity to go to Canada, and Angela, for some reason, didn't get a chance to go with me. And I met this young Canadian guy. And we spent the whole day at a mission together. After I had preached in the church, we had an opportunity to go feed the hungry. And me and him's talking, we're cutting vegetables and stuff. And man, he's just sucking. He's just pulling on me. I just like to preached all day long at this young man. And so he started putting it to work. He says, I'm going to go tell my friend. He's Indian, and he's had this Chinese friend. They're both Canadians born. And he says, I'm going to go tell my friend, and we're going to take this to the streets. And then later on, we saw him in Tulsa. A couple years later, they were going to Rhema. And they said, they began to tell us all the things that they saw because of the stuff.
And then they were doing it in Tulsa.
Yeah, and they were doing it in Tulsa. And then they went down into South America and were having pastors' meetings and stuff, training the pastors with this stuff. See, it's not the deep revelations of the things of God. Thank God for that. But it's the simplicity of the truth of God's word that this does work. If you put your hands on somebody's head in the name of Jesus, when they allow you to, you'll see the miraculous happen. I said, you'll see the miraculous happen. But see, you'll never see this stuff unless you act first. Sad to say, God, we're the only thing that God has to work through. Now, he does do supernatural, impossible things. But I'm saying this will work all the time. This will work all the time. And you know, if for some reason or another you lay hands on somebody and you don't see anything, you know what I say? Next. I don't understand everything. I don't know all there is to know about a person, their situation, the background, all this stuff. But I do know if I do this, I'll get results. And I do know everywhere we've gone and we've taught this, people get results. Thank God for the faith that we got saved with. Thank God with the faith that we use to keep our body healed. Not only to get healed, but to live in divine health. Thank God for the faith that we have to receive bunches of money and things and cars and houses and that kind of stuff. But let's use this to show the world that God is true. You can do it in school. You can do it in your school. Now, I might not be able to come into your school and do this. But as far as I understand, students can start clubs and stuff in their school. They're not going to stop you. I don't think. I don't know. Things may have changed. It's been a little while since I've been in school. A few years anyway. But verse 20 in Mark 16 says, they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. See, the Lord will work with you when you work with Him, when you work with His Word. The Lord worked with them, confirming the Word. Aren't you glad you don't get Reader's Digest in here for a sermon? Aren't you glad these pastors love you enough to tell you the truth and teach you the Word of God on all levels, from the little ones to you? Because the Word of God is the only thing that will work for us. Like I said, I was a hopeless, helpless drug addict, in and out of the penitentiary, on the way to hell, and somebody loved me enough to present the truth of God's Word like I'd never heard it before. And I dared to believe it, and it set me free. God's word works when we dare to work it. Now, I know you know this one too, but we're going to look at it anyway. John 14:12. Man, this is one of my favorite scriptures. This is the first scripture that God, the Holy Spirit, revealed to me. I was working with a man that led me to the Lord, and we didn't have work that day. And so I'm back in my bedroom. I lived with my mom at that time. And I'm reading my Bible, and I read this scripture. And I know I'd read it before, but it was like I'd never read this before. Man, those words jumped off that page, and they jumped into my heart. And I'm telling you, I haven't been the same since then. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, the works that I do," what did he do? He healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the leper, opened blind eyes, opened deaf ears, and a bunch of other stuff. He said, "He that believes on me, the works that I do, you shall, not maybe, you shall do the same things I did." Woo! Man, that'll turn you every which way but loose. He said, "You can do the same things I do if you just believe. And see, if you believe, you'll act on it. Because faith has to have feet. Faith has feet, faith has a mouth, faith has hands, and guess whose it is? It's yours." So let's put our God-given faith to work in this area of healings and miracles. Actually, when we do this, we're enforcing the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's finished. That's why he said it on the cross. It's finished. It's done, boys. Now the ball's in your court. You know, when we play tennis, if we just stand there and watch the balls go by, guess what? There's no sense in playing. Let's don't watch the ball go by, spiritually speaking. Let's get out there. And you know, you don't have to be dramatic about it. You don't have to do the Pentecostal chicken and give a message in tongues before you do this. And you don't have to have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge either. If you see somebody sick, somebody hurting, you know, when people are in pain, their face will tell you. You can just tell them, you know, "I'm a believer." Don't tell them what church you go to, because they think you're strange anyway when they find out you're going here. I see you're in pain. Could I pray for you? Now, see, you pull Jehovah Sneaky on them, because most people, even Christians, they think when you say, "Can I pray for you?" they think, well, sometime during the day when you think about it, you're going to bow your head and pray for them. No, they say, "Yes, you can pray for me. Just lay hands on them," or however you're impressed of the Lord, and say, "In Jesus' name, I command that sickness," or "I command that pain." Or if you get a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, thank God for that. I mean, that's extra. But you don't even have to have that. You've already got definite instructions in the Word of God that if you're a believer, these signs will follow you. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the same things that He did, we can do also. Woo! Boy, I'm telling you, that'll put a pep in your step. When you start out, I'm telling you, it will ruin you in a good way. It will ruin you for the things of God when you start doing this. You'll get just as, I got as addicted to this as I did when I did drugs. Man, I'm telling you. But see, you mess up the devil. I said, you mess up the devil. You put him in his place. You know where he is? Right here. When you say in Jesus' name, when you lay your hands on the sick, when you use the God kind of faith that resides on the inside of you, you will, I said you will, see the miraculous. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And the more you do it, the more proficient in it you get, the more comfortable you get in it. Man. Whew. Let me read something to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And I'll close with this, maybe. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He made him, or we could say God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Our sins are not covered, my brother and sister. That's old covenant. We're new covenant. Our sins are totally washed away. And then, of course, you know, you got to renew your mind, not remove your mind. That's another subject for another time. To be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I like to say it like this. Jesus became everything we were so we could be everything He is. Whew! Isn't that good? I said, Jesus became everything we were so we could be everything He is. So we could walk the walk, talk the talk, and do exactly what He said we could do. Because we believe in Him, we can do the works He did. We can see healings. We can see blind eyes open. You know, there's no difference between a headache and a blind eye, except up here. There's no difference between a headache and cancer, except up here. Because healing is healing. It doesn't take any more power to heal a headache than it does to heal cancer. And I thank God, I believe we're going to step through a threshold and we're going to see this year, beginning this year, an acceleration of people getting healed of that damnable disease. Because there's so much fear. When someone gets a diagnosis of cancer, there's so much fear that grips, you know. And we don't deny. See, faith people are not like ostriches. We don't stick our head in the sand and say, I don't have cancer, I don't have cancer, I don't have cancer. We say, by Jesus Christ, stripes, I am healed. Or we can say, in the name of Jesus, cancer, bow your knee. I forbid you to live in my body or in their body any longer in Jesus' name. And I thank you. Peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, will keep their hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. The Word has the answer for us, my brother and sisters. There's absolutely nothing that we cannot accomplish that He said we could. Come on now, I'm going to say that again. There's absolutely nothing that we cannot accomplish that He said we could. We don't have to make this thing weird or strange. You know, and you don't have to shout and scream and spit like I'm doing tonight. I mean, everybody's got a different personality, and God uses people with their personality. I mean, simply, you don't have to scream the name of Jesus. I just like to put a little spizzorectum in it myself. So, we have faith. Say, I have faith. We have the God kind of faith. Say, I have the God kind of faith. Faith came by hearing and hearing God's word. Say, I have the God kind of faith by hearing God's word. And we can take that faith and use it to see healings and miracles. Say, I can take my God-given faith and use it to see healings and miracles on behalf of other people.